Welcome to Searchlight, a survey through Scripture with Pastor John Corson. It is our desire to bring you a systematic study of the entire Bible, chapter by chapter, book by book. We like our heroes to be perfect, without flaw, without sin. And we do have one such hero, Jesus. But we have other heroes, people that we look up to, who are not perfect. One such man is King David. We have been following his story in 1 Samuel and have seen David do some wonderful things as he trusts in God and is obedient to God. But even though David may be a hero, he is just a man, and men are flawed. In our study today in 1 Samuel 27, we see one of those flaws. We have learned much through the good things that David has done. We have learned what to do. But we can also learn from David's mistakes. We can learn what not to do. Let's now join Pastor John as we learn from David about what not to do.
1 Samuel 27.
And David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines. And Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in the boundaries of Israel. So shall I escape out of his hand. So, verse 2, David arose, and he passed over with the 600 men that were with him, and he went to Achish, who was the king of Gath. Gath, of course, was a Philistine city. It was a capital in Philistia. They were enemies of the Israelites. So David went there, and verse 3 tells you and me, he dwelt with Achish at Gath, he and his men, every man with his household or family, even David with his two wives, Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the Carmelitess, who previously was Nabal's wife, until, of course, Nabal died, as we have seen. Well, verse 4, it was told Saul that David fled to Gath, and Saul sought no more again for him. Unlike most biographies, the Bible deals with its characters, its subjects, its heroes with brutal honesty. The Bible tells it like it is. Today's text is a good example of that fact. David is without question one of the greatest heroes in the Bible, one of the greatest men who has ever lived. I am absolutely certain he will have an exalted place in heaven. And yet, as we look at his story, we see that he had failures and foibles and real vulnerabilities. You see, David was a man of God, it's true, but he was a man. Just like me, just like you. And in our story, we are going to see yet another occasion where David drops the ball, where he blows it pretty badly. You see, chapter 26 ended with a real victory for David. He was there in the area of Ziph. Saul, King Saul, was chasing him. Saul, as you know, looked at David as a threat. Saul was determined to destroy David, to remove David from that position of taking the throne from him. So David has been on the run. Saul was chasing him like a partridge, the Bible says. Now Saul and his 3,000 choice men, his best fighting men, are there in Ziph, and they bivouac for the night. And while they're asleep, David and his nephew, Abishai, make their way stealthily that night into the camp of Saul. Saul was surrounded by his guards. 3,000 men were surrounding him. But David and Abishai make their way in, and they take Saul's spear and carry it away. The next day, they call out to Saul from across the valley, and Saul could see that once more, once again, just like it was previously, David had the opportunity to lop off his head to kill Saul, but didn't. And Saul was amazed at that, and Saul cries out to David in verse 25 of chapter 26. Saul said to David, "Blessed be thou, my son David. Thou shalt both do great things, and thou shalt still prevail. David, you're great, and you're going to win in the end. I'm not going to get you. You're going to do what God has ordained you to do. You're going to be what God has called you to be. You're going to prevail, and you're going to do great things, David." So David went on his way, and Saul returned to his place, and Saul never saw David again. David never was encountered by Saul or hounded by Saul from this time on, you see. So in chapter 26, David has a great victory because David didn't do what the temptation was, chop off his head. David didn't cut the skirt of his robe like David did previously in the cave of En Gedi, if you can recall that story. This is the second time David had opportunity to take Saul down, but he chose not to. He didn't even nick his garment this time. David did so well. He passed this test with flying colors. Now, this is what intrigues me. Verse 1 of chapter 27. This is amazing. At this point, at this time, when Saul is no longer chasing him, when David had a great victory spiritually, when Saul actually confesses, "You are going to win, and you're going to do great things, David, guarantee." David then said in his heart, "I'm going to perish one day by the hand of Saul." David, stop. Rewind. Back up. What are you saying? What are you thinking? Saul has let you go. Saul is on his way back to his palace that day. And you're declaring in your heart, "Saul's going to wipe me out." David, it's contrary, number one, to your previous experience. Every step of the way, God has been with you. God's been protection for you. When you snuck into the camp in chapter 26, God had the men sleeping soundly. If one would have awoken, you would have been dead meat, David. But it says the Lord put them in a deep sleep. David, God has protected you every step of the way. Your previous experience says, no, you're not going to be taken down by Saul. And the future promises. God has promised you, David. God has ordained for you, David, that you are to be king. He's made that clear time and again. He's made a covenant with you, David. So what's going on? Why would you say now? Why would you say here, "I'm going to perish one day by the hand of Saul"? He says that, and then he says, "What can I do?" So he decides to defect from Israel, to leave God's country, and go to the Philistines, the enemies of Israel, and go to Gath, the capital of Philistia, and give himself to Achish, the king of the Philistines. He is truly defecting, backsliding. David, how could this be? How could this be? David says, "I'm going to die in this land. Saul is out to get me. I'm going to go to Philistia. I'll be safe there." You see. So he makes his way to the Philistine country, and he gives himself to the king of Gath, Achish. How could this happen? Four or five things to take note of. Because you see, I can understand how this could happen, even though what David does is a big goof, a real gaffe or gaff. Even though he drops the ball, even though he's missing the mark, even though he's stumbling a bit, I do understand how it could happen. Because you see, first of all, the best of men are men at best. Number one, the best of men are men at best. David is the best of men, but he is a man at best. Never forget that. The Catholic Church right now is freaked out, understandably. The Catholic Church right now is haunted greatly. Because you see, sometimes people begin to think, well, if he's a priest or he's David or he's a bishop or he's the Pope or whatever he might be, they must be flawless and they must be holy. Not necessarily so. In fact, the Bible says this we all have in common. There is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned. All we like sheep go astray, you see. And for the Catholic Church, much of it, this is very devastating because they look to the priest to absolve their sin. They look to the priest to be an intermediary. Before they can come to God, they go through the priest. Now to discover that the priests are not who they thought, not what they thought, is a bit disconcerting, obviously. But God makes this clear from the beginning to the end of the scriptures, that the best of men are men at best, you see. Only God is holy. Only God is truly good. That's the fact. And if I forget about that, I will be disillusioned. I will be upset. I'll be blown away. I must remember that the best of men are men at best. Kind of like those hillbillies, Jake and Jed from the Ozarks. Jake is there sitting at his table by the fire, putting the pieces of the puzzle together. Jed walks in. What you doing, Jake? Just finishing up this puzzle. Oh, yeah? Yep, did it in 10 days, Jake said proudly. 10 days. Jed said, I've never put a puzzle together. Is that good, doing it in 10 days? Jake said, you bet your sweet bippy it's good. He said, just take a look right here at the box. Look at the box. It says from 2 to 4 years. From 2 to 4 years. It was the ages, but... Jim Sitter checks in. Attaboy, Jim. And sometimes, you know, we think, oh my, you know, I've got all the pieces together. I've got everything in place, you know. But in reality, we're all a bunch of hillbillies. We're all a bunch of sinners. And that must be understood. I understand how this could be, how David could defect. I understand that because even the best of men are men at best. Secondly, number two, I understand how this could be because not only is David a man, he is a man of God, but he's a man. So he has foibles and failures and weaknesses too. But secondly, after a mountaintop victory often comes a deep valley emotionally. Remember that. David just had a mountaintop victory. Man, it was amazing what the Lord did in him when he had the chance to have Saul killed by his nephew Abishai or to kill Saul himself personally. But David didn't do that. He shows such restraint, such wisdom. It's a move of God within his soul. It's the blessing of God upon his life that he shows such self-control. And after mountaintop victories, there can come deep valleys, dark valleys emotionally. Ask Elijah. Talk about mountaintop victories. He's on Mount Carmel. He prays to God, calls down fire from heaven. You might remember the story. Fire comes down. The people are amazed. They all turn to God. And then Elijah single-handedly takes the prophets of Baal and chops them up, 450 in number. Man, talk about a victory, a mountaintop victory. And then a little lady named Jezebel says, Elijah, I'm going to get you. And what does he do? He runs for his life, mile after mile. He hides away in a cave. He says, I just want to die. Elijah, you just had a real victory. You took on 450 prophets of Baal. Now you want to die because one little lady is mad at you? What's the deal? It's the way it often is. Remember this. Please remember this. That after a mountaintop high, there can come a deep, dark valley. Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River. This is my beloved son, the Father thundered from heaven. Right after that, he went to the wilderness where he was tempted by Satan. It's the way it can often be. Number three, not only the best of men are men at best, that's how this could happen, David's defection, and after a mountaintop high, there can be a dark valley emotionally. But number three, long trials can take a real toll. This is so true. Long trials can take a real toll. See, David has been in a long trial. He's playing his harp as a young man there in the palace of Saul. Saul throws a spear at him once, twice, thrice. David finally runs away. A wise thing to do, I might say. And now he goes and seeks help from the prophets there at Nob. He gets a little help from them, but then there's a man named Doeg there. And Doeg reports to King Saul that David went to Nob and the priests helped him out a bit. Doeg the traitor, Doeg the ratfink. And when Saul heard, Saul sent his men and all 85 priests were executed because they were there helping David. They didn't even know what David's story really was, but heads rolled and blood flowed. And David thought, oh no, how could this be? Saul's throwing spears at me. Doeg is rat-thinking on me. Heads have rolled and blood has flowed because of me. And then he makes his way to Keilah to help out some men that are there in Keilah who are attacked by the Philistines. The whole city is in jeopardy. And David risks his life to help them out. And what do? You might remember the story. The men of Keilah are going to turn him in and turn him over to Saul that Saul might destroy David, you see. Everywhere David goes, people are throwing spears at him. They're rat-thinking on him. They're betraying his trust. They're not appreciating what he's doing. And on the stories go. This guy, David, time and time again, and in our story presently in chapter 26, chapter 27, he's in the area of Ziph. And the Ziphites, again, Israelites, countrymen, they blow the whistle on him. David has gone through a long trial. You know what? When you go through long trials, it can take a toll. I am learning, still learning, but I am learning to not judge people so quickly because I don't know where they've been. I don't know what they've been dealing with. I don't know what they've gone through. Maybe that's why they've defected or seemingly walked away or aren't doing as well as I think they should. I don't know their story. I might know parts of it, but I can't know the totality of their story. And one might look at David and say, how could he do this? Well, he ought not to have. But the reality is he's been in a long trial, and long trials can really take tolls on a person. Number four, not only is he a man, the best of men are men at best, and after a mountaintop high came a real valley that he had to go through, you see. And this long trial was evidently taking a toll. But number four, he misspelled relief. How do you spell relief? R-O-L, no. He thought you spelled it G-A-T-H. I need relief. Here I am in church with God's people, David would say. They're out to get me. They're not showing compassion toward me. They're throwing spears at me. They don't have any appreciation for me. I'm out of here. I'm going to Vegas. This is it. At church, they don't appreciate who I am. They have no sympathy for where I've been. I'm going to Las Vegas, you see. That's what David's saying here. Going to Gath. Going to Philistine city. This is just too tough around here. I'm with God's people. I'm in God's country. And look, all they do is break my heart. I'm going to Las Vegas. I'll be happy there. Or so he thinks. He spends 16 months, as we shall see on Wednesday night. 16 months, a year and 4 months in Gath. At first, it seems to be pretty cool. But ultimately, it proves to be an unmitigated disaster. Kind of like those two Texas truck drivers. They're driving their truck down the highway. They see on a bridge up ahead a sign right there as they're heading to go under the bridge. Clearance, 12 foot 3. They stop their truck and they get out and measure their rig, and it's 12 feet 10. And the one Texan looks around and says to the other, "I don't see any cops around here. Let's go for it." And that's what happens. People say, "Hey, you know what? Nobody's going to catch me. Nobody's going to see or know that I'm in Vegas or I'm in Sin City or I'm doing this or doing that. I just need a little break, a little relief. I need to belly up to the bar. I need to lose myself in the show. I need to go to Vegas. I'm just tired of God's people, you know. I don't see anybody around here." It's not about getting caught. It's about knocking your top off of your rig. That's the reality. That's what's going to happen to David. You see, what's going to happen, I'll give you a sneak preview of coming attractions. Ultimately, David is going to be asked, commanded really, by Gath. "David, you've proven yourself. David, mount up. David, grab your men. We're going to go kill us some Israelites." And now David's in a pickle. And what he does is rather surprising, as we shall see. But suffice it to say right now, he thought it would be, "Hey, time to relax, take a break today." But it proved to be a disaster. He wanted relief. Whenever you're looking for relief from God's people, relief from God's kingdom, relief from God's thing, because it's been difficult for you. It's been tough, quite frankly. I'm telling you, if you head off to Gath, it's going to prove to be just that, a real gaff, a real goof. You're going to get your top knocked off, guarantee. So David does this because he wanted relief. Number five, finally, before we make our application. Number five, hey, how could it be that David would do this? Well, the best of men are men at best. He had a mountaintop experience, but now he's in a valley, you see. This long trial has taken a real toll. He wanted relief, number four, and he went to find relief in the wrong arena. That can happen to you. It can happen to me. Number five, I suggest to you that perhaps how this happened, he wanted to restore his reputation.
We are going to have to wait until our next program to explore this final point, because we're out of time for today. We do hope that you can join us again as we consider how a great man like David can make such a foolish mistake. We'll see you then.
This teaching is also available on the Searchlight website at johncorson.com. You will also find on the website Pastor John's books and other Bible study resources. Again, the address of the website is johncorson.com. That's johncorson.com.
The Apostle Paul said that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you would like to increase your faith and hear more of the Word of God, you may wish to consider Pastor John's complete set of Through the Bible teachings. This set contains over 1,200 teachings from Genesis to Revelation in MP3 audio format. These MP3 formatted teachings can be used with most mobile phones, computers, tablets, or other mobile devices. You may order Pastor John's Through the Bible MP3 audio set from our website at johncorson.com.
Searchlight is a listener-supported ministry. We appreciate your prayers and support. May the Lord richly bless you.